नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 9, entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev in the Presence of Lord Krishna, Text 29. Dharmam pravadatas tasya. Dharmam pravadatas tasya. Sakalah pratyupastitah. Sakalah pratyupastitah. Yo yoginash chandamrityo. Yo yoginash chandamrityo. Vanchitas tuttarayana. Vanchitastuttarayanah dharmam pravadatastasya sakalah pratyupastitah yo yoginaschandamrityo vanchitastuttarayanah dharmam pravadatastasya sakalah pratyupastitah yo yoginaschandamrityo vanchitastuttarayanah. Word for word meanings: dharmam, occupational duties, pravadatah, while describing, tasya, is, saha, that, kalah, time, pratyupastitah, exactly appeared, yah, that is, yoginah, for the mystics, chandamrityo, of one who dies, according to one's own selection of time. Vanchitah is desired by. Tu, but. Uttarayanah, the period when the sun runs on the northern horizon. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: while Bhishma Dev was describing occupational duties, the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere. This period is desired by mystics who die at their will. Purport: the perfect yogis or mystics can leave the material body at their own sweet will, at a suitable time, and go to a suitable planet desired by them. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.24, it is said that self-realized souls who have exactly identified themselves with the interest of the Supreme Lord can generally leave the material body during the time of the fire god's effulgence and when the sun is in the northern horizon, and thus achieve the transcendental sky. In the Vedas, these times are considered auspicious for quitting the body, and they are taken advantage of by the expert mystics who have perfected the system. Perfection of yoga means attainment of the super mental states as to be able to leave the material body as desired. Yogis can also reach any planet within no time without a material vehicle. The yogis can reach the highest planetary system within a very short time, and this is impossible for the materialist. Even attempting to reach the highest planet will take millions of years at a speed of millions of miles per hour. This is a different science, and Bhishma Dev knew well how to utilize it. He was just waiting for the suitable moment to quit his material body, and the golden opportunity arrived when he was instructing his noble grandsons, the Pandavas. He thus prepared himself to quit his body before the exalted Lord Shri Krishna, the pious Pandavas and the great sages headed by Bhagwan Vyasa, etc., all great souls. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमलं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम् वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So here we are reading about passing away of Bhishma Dev. So it's a very important pastime. We can learn from this pastime many good lessons. So this statement given here that how, at what time Bhishma Dev leaves is very interesting. And actually it's a challenge to the materialists, to all the materialistic conceptions. So here it is said that, you know, he's leaving as per his selection of time at his sweet will. Plus there's given that he chose a time when the sun is traveling towards northern, in the northern horizon. So so for the solar system we had different theories previously. They had a geocentric model in which the earth is stationary and everything else moves around it. So even now many people believe in that model, because if you stand at a place whole day and you would see sun go from one place to another. So, you know, earth is stationary, sun is moving. So as per an observer on the earth. So later many scientists now have another model, which is the heliocentric model, in which the sun is in the center and all the planets revolve around the sun. But even now there were different polls taken in different countries, and many people still believe that earth is stationary. So which one to believe, you know? So there are different authorities and they give different theories. But Rupa said, we believe the Vedic version. So in the Vedic version, sun is not stationary, sun is moving. So here we see that sun is moving Uttarayana, it's when the sun runs on the northern horizon. So in fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is where the structure of universe is given. And based on that, Prabhupada has a desire that we want to show the world that actually what is the real structure of the universe and how these planets move. So he had a desire in Mayapur, we will build this temple of Vedic planetarium, and there we will have a model life, big planets and big building, we will have this model of the universe. And now his desire is being undertaken by devotees and disciples of Prabhupada. and they are building. So it will be ready soon, and then we can also have a look. It will be, I think, 4 years it should be ready. So this is the Vedic version. In Vedic texts, the truth is given, and we stick to that. We consider Vedic version as the truth. According to Vedic version, actually the pole star is stationary and all other planets move around pole star. So what we call generally stars is basically, Prabhupada say, they all are planets. So they all move around the pole star like that. So I'll just read a short passage from the fifth canto where it's about sun, that how sun actually moves, it's given there. So there it says, the sun is not stationary. It is also moving like other planets. The sun's movements determine the duration of night and day. When the sun travels north of equator, it moves slowly during the day and very quickly at night, thus increasing the duration of the daytime and decreasing the duration of night. Similarly, when the sun travels south of equator, the exact opposite is true. The duration of day decreases and the duration of night increases. When the sun enters Cancer and then travels to Leo and so on through Sagittarius, its course is called Dakshinayana, the southern way. And when the sun enters Capricorn and thereafter travels through Aquarius and so on through Gemini, its course is called Uttarayana, the northern way. When the sun is in Aries and Libra, the duration of day and night are equal. So these are the statements, very scientific statements given in the scriptures. So so we must have faith on these scriptures, and we should base our life on these scriptures. So there were books on astronomy. One book is called Siddhant Shiromani, one was Surya Siddhant, about all these various time durations and position of planets. There was much description. And Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Prabhupada Maharaj, he was actually a great astronomer and mathematician. So originally his name was, of course, Bimla Prasad Datta. But he was such a good scholar. He actually translated the book Surya Siddhant into Bengali. And from that time on, his name, he was given the title of Siddhanta Saraswati, because he translated Surya Siddhanta. And then later, when he took sannyas, he was given another title, Goswami Maharaj. So he became Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada, like that. So these are our gurus, our acharyas, and they are expert in this science. So this is material arrangement of planets and stars. So a devotee knows everything about spiritual world, arrangement of spiritual world, arrangement of material world perfectly. So we don't care about what the modern so-called scientists, they base their theories on just some assumptions. We don't care about that. So we boldly, that's why I say this is a bold step to make this model of, you know, the temple of Vedic planetarium. It is like a very bold step. And by guidance of Prabhupada and previous acharyas, devotees are able to do that. Completely going opposite way. So this is a very bold move. So, and for this, we must have faith. Our faith should be very strong. So as per Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are three types of devotees based on faith. So first class devotee has very firm faith in the scriptures, in these Vedic injunctions. He has very firm faith in Krishna, and he can defeat any argument based on these scriptures. He can defeat anyone. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so powerful, he could defeat anyone. People would just shiver in front of him. No one dared challenge him. Like that, he was so strong. So this is first class devotee. Second class devotee is who is not very good in these arguments and scriptures, but he has a strong faith. Still, he has a strong faith. And the neophyte devotee, the third level, is his faith is not very strong. It's called Komal Shraddha. He's very weak faith. But it is said if he follows the process very nicely, then he can become the first class devotee. So we have to start somewhere, but we just follow, stick to the process, then we can actually reach the first class level. So someone asked Prabhupada, there are two things, you know, chanting and reading. So is it okay if we only do chanting, no reading? Yeah, that's okay. But to defend, to preach the message, to answer the questions, we need to read and know the Shastra as well. So that's the thing. Only chanting is enough. You can chant and go back to Godhead. But now we are part of preaching mission, so we must know also the various details of the scripture. And then we can actually, with full faith, with full conviction, we can tell, okay, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Someone asks, okay, why? Then, okay, we give these various descriptions. Like that. So like Prabhu was saying yesterday, so in the scriptures we have hundreds of shlokas which tell that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are just a part, small parts and parcels. So we can quote these verses that how Krishna is Supreme. So for Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are various checks that we can check, okay. Someone says, oh, I am God. Then how to check? So in scripture it said there are various auspicious marks for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva. There are various auspicious marks. Like on lotus feet of Krishna, we have different marks. If someone says, oh, I am God, and he has a bushy hair and ugly face, you know, it can't be God like that. So we have to see the auspicious marks. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which described various auspicious marks and how his nose is like beautiful sesame flower, his face is like lotus flower, like that. He has a body which is the, you know, length and width of the body is given like 4 cubits. So this is an ancient unit, cubit. It's like the length of the arm from the middle finger till here, something like that. So this is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you measure your body, it cannot be 4 cubits. It's less than that. So there are these characteristics we can check. And then it's described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Nyagrodha Parimandal, which means Nyagrodha is like the banyan tree. His construction of the body is like a vast banyan tree, like that. And there are different scriptures actually. In one book it's written there are, for great men there are many, it says in that book about 32 symptoms of a great man. In that also it's described the body should be like as vast as a banyan tree, like that. And there's one statement from Ramayana in which Sita Devi actually says to Ravan that I am faithfully engaged in the service of Rama, Lord Ram, who is greatly fortunate, fixed in truthfulness, gifted with all auspicious marks, and has the bodily measurements of a banyan tree, like that. So that's why we have this faith on the scriptures, and we, by these proofs from the scriptures, we know that, okay, Krishna and all the Vishnu Tattvas, how they are actually God, and then we worship them with full heart. So that's what we must have, this faith in these scriptures. So here, when Lord this incident is there of Bhishma Dev's passing away, it says he left when the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere. That's the Uttarayan. So in purport, Prabhupada writes that in 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is described. So there it says, you know, there are auspicious times when a mystic leaves and he can attain Brahman, Brahma Jyoti. So this was the time. When sun is a time of fire god. So what happens, the mystic leaves at this time and the fire god takes him to the next level. He takes him to the, passes him on to the next demigod. And so on, they pass until Brahma and then he goes and merges into the Brahma Jyoti. So this is the science for mysticism given in Bhagavad Gita. and the other time is chosen by the Karmakandis, those who want these higher planets within this material realm. So then that is the Dakshinayan, when it the sun is in the north, in the southern, in its southern way. So then they reach the moon planet and they enjoy there when they choose this time. So, and then they, in a chapter Prabhupada describes that for devotees actually it doesn't matter which time. Here of course Bhishma Dev is just showing this example of a great mystic as well, but he is also a great devotee. Actually it doesn't matter for him. If he desired his own comfort, and he had this boon of chandamrityu or ichchamrityu, that he could have died any time, any moment. So he would have actually just preferred to leave when all the arrows entered his body, but he just lied down. It was a painful situation. So that proves that he was not actually, it doesn't matter for him, that it didn't matter that he, what, you know, that he, for his pain, personal pain, he stayed and he was giving these various lessons. So here we see, while Bhishma Dev was describing occupational duties, he was giving, his mind was completely clear and fixed on Krishna like that. So for devotees actually it doesn't matter what time it is. He is just engrossed in Krishna. His mind is attached to Krishna like that. So it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Sri Krishna ended his pastimes and he left the planet, then Arjun and other Pandavas, they were very distressed. And so what did Arjuna do when Lord Krishna left? How did he relieve himself from this great separation? So he just remembered the words of Krishna. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so he remembered those words. And then his heart was pacified. So there are these words in Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, Desh kalatha yuktani rit tapo vishamami cha haranti smaratash chittam govinda abhihitani me. So he said these words, of the words spoken by Krishna and words relating to Krishna, they are actually beyond desh and kal, the circumstance and the time. They are beyond these material limitations. So when we remember these words relating to Krishna, this Krishna katha, then actually it's beyond any circumstance. So we can't say, oh, at the moment I have this problem, this material situation, so that's why I can't do perfect bhakti. No, it's not like that. This bhakti process is beyond any material situation. Material, nothing can stop, nothing can check bhakti. Ahituki apratihata. So it cannot be checked by any situation like that. So these devotees, they prove like that. So, you know, we can't say, okay, now today I'm enthusiastic, so I'll do these many services, and today my mood is not good, so I won't do my rostral services or, you know, any service like that. So initially when a devotee joins, it is this special enthusiasm. So then, you know, want to do so many things. And sometimes it's seen if this process is not applied properly, so then when after many years devotees become, you know, mechanical, and they say, okay, yeah, we have seen everything, what's new, you know, what's new in Bhagavatam class, we have heard everything, they tell us the same thing, you are not the body, we know that, so what's new, you know. So this is the advance, after many years of practice, if someone feels like this, so that's not a proper situation. So the best combination is actually to have this enthusiasm of a new devotee, and at the same time to have this maturity of an advanced devotee. So this is the perfect combination like that. So what happens, why we, after many years of practice, sometimes why we become mechanical is because of the offenses. We forget, we don't avoid all the offenses. So the process seems very mechanical. It doesn't seem to be fresh. But if we are properly engaged, we are not offending anyone. And Prabhupada was also very careful in not offending the deity, the devotees, any living entities. So then we can actually advance and we can have enthusiasm always like that. So these eternal residents of Krishna in the spiritual world and in the material world, when Krishna comes, when they interact with Krishna, they never get bored of Krishna. They are always talking about Krishna and interacting with Him. So most intimate devotees are of course the gopis of Vrindavan. So Krishna has this Shringar Rasa or this conjugal rasa. So that He shows with two types of devotees. One are the gopis of Vrindavan and then His wives in Dwarka. So there is one verse actually by in which it describes the situation of the wives of Krishna. So there it says that that although they are actually very close to Krishna, they live with Him, and they are alone also in His presence for day after day, but still they feel that the lotus feet of Krishna, they are newer and newer, they are ever fresh, and they never want to leave Krishna. So this is the position. So they are most advanced devotees. They don't get bored that, oh yeah, we know Krishna. same man. So let's go and get attached to someone else. No, that's material conception, because this is a perverted reflection based on physical attraction. Men and women come together and then after some time you get bored. If there is no conception of Krishna, then we get bored of any relation like that. Yeah, same father, same mother, you know, same child, like that. But with Krishna it's different. When we are with Krishna, it's ever fresh. The relationship is ever fresh, like that. So in any situation, actually, if we carry out our services, so then we can actually reach that Radhanuga platform. Then when we have spontaneous attraction for Krishna. So even though this is Kali Yuga, Kaliyat Dosha Nidhirajan Nasti Ekumavan Guna, that in this Kali Yuga it's like an ocean of faults. So we can't, but still we can't complain that, oh, this is the ocean of faults, so we can't do our bhakti properly. You know, there's so many faults. But actually this Kali Yuga only exists for non-devotees, those who don't want to surrender to Krishna's instructions. This Kali Yuga only exists for them. For devotees, Kali Yuga doesn't exist, because the Krishna is present for them, like that. In previous ages, the facilities of course were much better materially. It is said that when Parikshit Maharaj, he performed 3 Ashwamedha Yajnas, and that time under his rule actually there was such nice situation. So he performed this sacrifice, and at that sacrifice actually even common men could see demigods. So that was the position. But now these days our leaders are not so good. They are not following the scriptures, so we cannot expect much purity. But still, if we have this access to Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha, then we are perfect. So when these sages of Naimisharanya, they assembled, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they addressed Suta Goswami. So they said that actually, for devotees, they are attached to this katha, these topics related to Krishna. They are not interested in any other topic, which is, the other topics are waste of time. They are total waste of time. So they said devotees are always interested in licking the nectar from the lotus feet of Krishna, like that. So these instructions of Krishna, if we apply in our life, we take them to the heart, then it's like nectar. And by this process of hearing Krishna Katha, by talking about Krishna, we actually also, devotees step over death. So it's described there that the Lord of Death, Yamaraj, is a great devotee actually. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually he likes to attend kirtans and sacrifices. So when these sages were having this long sacrifice in the forest of Naimisharanya for the welfare of people in upcoming age of Kali, so they actually invited Yamaraj, and Yamaraj was present there in that discussion of Krishna, of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Yamaraj is there with you, then there is no death. So that's how actually devotees cross death. Like that. So this is the mood. We always discuss about Krishna, and we by hearing about Krishna, we come to know about these qualities of Krishna and the form of Krishna and his various pastimes. And then we can understand, oh, actually he is a person. He is a supreme person. And Bhagavad Gita says, Bhoktaram Yadithapsam Sarva Lokmaisharam Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shanti Mrityati. So this is the peace formula, to understand that, oh, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, he is the supreme proprietor, and he is the supreme friend. So if there is a supreme friend, then actually we develop this mood of separation from a supreme friend. Unless we develop this knowledge that there is someone who is so dear to us, then actually we will feel, oh, it's okay here. Doesn't matter if Krishna is there in our life or not. We are okay. We are doing so many things. But by hearing this Krishna Katha, actually we understand, oh, without Krishna there is no satisfaction to the heart. He's the only one. No one else can actually fully satisfy us. So then we can actually fully surrender to Krishna and develop this mood of separation. So with more intense mood of separation, then Krishna comes even closer and he reveals more and more. If we have more, you know, love for him, we develop this more love, then we will have more revelation about Krishna. So these acharyas, they were expert in talking about these pastimes and these qualities of Krishna. So we have so many songs written by these acharyas, which just stir the heart and just bring out this original consciousness of love for Krishna. So it's like it's called Shravanadija. We have this Bhakti Lata Beej, and then a small creeper comes. So if we water it with hearing and chanting, then that creeper would grow and we will develop our relation with Krishna. So these acharyas have given these songs and these commentaries, and by their own life actually they were exhibiting this, that how to have separation from Krishna. So here the great devotee Bhishma Dev is also showing us, just at the end he is showing how to die. So at the end he is just doing Krishna Katha. He is talking about Krishna and laws of Krishna. He is talking about these various occupational duties. So this is the perfection of life and perfection of death. We always talk about Krishna's holy name, form, pastimes, qualities, and we hear and like that. And that's the perfection of life. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
I have a few comments. Number one, as you said, Srila Prabhupada told in few lectures always, have unflinching faith in spiritual master and Krishna. Then Yamuna was in great ecstasy. His ecstasy was boundless because these two had done so much of received activity that there was no end to it. Actually, Yamuna was noting and it is said that their activities were so bad, they were written in six buildings. Their activities were there. And Yamuna was extremely excessive. Because nobody thought that these two can be ever liberated. So only because of Mahaprabhu and Yamuna.
Anything else? Hare Krishna.
Talking about how you become mechanical by offences, is there particular offences like Vaishnava or is it Seva or Prada?
Any offence.
What is the question?
So he's asking that if when we become mechanical, so is it a particular offence which makes us mechanical? Seva Prada or Vaishnava Prada? Any aparad to the deities, aparad to Vaishnavas, aparad to Bhakti Devi, the service, and to any living entity, we have this mood that, oh, we are devotees, we are superior, and oh yeah, come, I'll preach to you, I'll tell you what's the real thing. Now, that's not a proper mood, and then we tend to offend these other living entities also. So correct mood to have for all living entities is actually it's a humble position. If we take this humble position of Trinada Pishuni Chena Taru Riva Saishuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtnya Sadahari. So how to be established in this constant spontaneous kirtan of Krishna is by having this mood. So we think that we are actually very low. It's only by mercy of our spiritual master that we are engaged, and that too we are not doing to up to the mark, but we will try at our best. And this new person who is there, he can actually, he or she can do much better than me. So then, if we have this mood, we can never offend anyone. And of course, we cannot offend the deities. And then we will have, the chanting will be also offenseless. And we will have attentive chanting. Otherwise, this, if we offend someone, then there are reactions, mind goes here and there. Anything else? Hare Krishna, please.
You mentioned that there's no Kali Yuga for devotees, but apparently we are influenced quite a bit by the vice of Kali, so can you understand?
Yeah, I read that statement in one of these chapters of first canto. I can't exactly remember, but it's there. It says that for devotees, Kali Yuga doesn't exist. So it's to the degree we become purified, so we will be freed from the effects of Kali Yuga. So for a pure devotee, actually, exactly. This morning I was listening to a lecture. His Holiness Devanath Maharaj was saying, for actually a devotee, it doesn't even matter that where he actually he is present, heaven or hell. He is in so much ecstasy in serving Krishna. If he is a purified devotee, then actually he doesn't even realize that where he is. So the same way, if one becomes so pure and so then he or she cannot actually feel that that Kali Yuga is present. For such a devotee, actually Kali Yuga is very good. There is so much opportunity to preach. Like Sankarshan Prabhu was saying, actually the book distributors actually, or preachers basically, they desire to have birth again and again. If you go to the spiritual world, you can't preach to anyone, they all are pure devotees. So like that. So that's to the degree we are pure. Is it all right? Anything you want to add?
You initially mentioned about the geocentric and heliocentric model.
Okay.
I think it's just two perspectives from the same universe. Both can coexist.
relating there.
And this Uttarayana Dakshinayana is accepted.
It's accepted.
Let's not have that motion for
liquidation. Yeah, I read they say something like the sun and the earth, they are moving around the center of mass or something like that. So yeah, they both move. And some people then, it may not be scientists, some people then believe, okay, no, earth is stationary, just based on their thing. Yeah, first I read also when I was studying that around the center of mass. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, I got the room.